Artwork Newspaper Issue 221. May to June 2022. Title: Maxwell's Cold Blast. I was recently belted by a Highland lad, and I really enjoyed it. Still, you know what they say about a public school education and all its peccadilloes. It's the best education in the world, if you survive it, and if you don't, there's always the Foreign Office. The location of the belting was an adjacent Highland estate to his. Scruffy as ever, my kilt was falling down, and aghast at my insult to our national dress, the lad whipped off his own belt and gave me one, his belt, most kind. Later I offered to give it back, but his wife said he would be fair affronted if I even suggested it, or words to that effect. Who he? Angus MacDonald, Fai Rochevin. Now there will be many a lad who, given my support for many, though not all, of the community buyouts, would have been delighted at the news of my belting. But in contrast, in this occasion I'm a big fan of Angus, who has opened both a bookshop and a cinema in Fort William. Both crazy projects, both done for the right reason. By the end of play today, local election day, and I choose my words advisedly, he will, God willing, also be a local councillor. Of course nobody is perfect. As he often agrees with a self-deprecating laugh, his own novels are not perfect. A cynic might even say they are often the sort which once you have put them down you can't pick them up again. Sorry Angus, if you want unconditional love you should breed from your fine Labrador. But at least he writes them, and they do often reimagine a time long gone. I regard him as one of the most remarkable landlords in the Highlands in our era. An exemplar of what the role could achieve, so good luck to him. And if he ever wants his belt back he can have it. XXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXX one of the most vicious of pacifists, the late George MacLeod, and have spent much of what I laughingly call my career worrying if he was mad. The more worrying option being that he wasn't. As a stumbling amateur journalist in recent weeks, I have spent a good deal of time on the phone speaking to people about the war. Folk in Russia, America, and indeed folk just back from Ukraine. I'm no war reporter, but I have written absurd stories from places where more people are more drawn to kill others than here in my native Barnton, and often with less reason, and I worry about folk I know who soak in similar baths of blood this day, and who will probably never be entirely able to clean themselves in their dotage. Age will indeed weary them. I salute them all. There have been several common characteristics of all the folk I speak to: a sense of despair when the immortal truth becomes apparent that neither side will ever fully win, a sort of pre-post-traumatic stress disorder. Nobody ever wins wars. There may be a certain political advantage achieved by a few, an evil does have to be met, but in the balance this is often countered by the millions who are mentally damaged for decades, and sometimes their kids with them. I sometimes wonder if I too was wounded at Ypres, where my father fought. Wars are the bad report cards of diplomats. You see, I'm the son of a man who fought at Ypres, a reticent sort of human being who could remember Queen Victoria's funeral. During that war he saw Highland children with their faces shot off and their bellies unzipped, still running towards the bullets. When he was 89, 70 years after his 4 years of soaking in a bloodbath had started, I foolishly took him to a reenactment of a First World War battle scene at the Edinburgh Tattoo. It was a ridiculous thing to do. After about 10 minutes he started to cry, not dribbles but wholehearted sobs, and I couldn't help. Eventually I just bundled him into a taxi and took him home to his bed, where he cried some more. 70 odd years of pain. He told me that sometimes he would long all night for it to be day and all day for it to be night. Not long after the war he was preaching and threw his medals at the congregation and they almost had to section him. Had war made him mad or sane? A little of both, I fear. After that he described himself as a reluctant pacifist. Idiotic? I'm loath to condemn him entirely. Last week I got an email from a major American journalist, a former senior advisor to Reagan. She asked what my father would have done about Ukraine. I could sense her own pre-post-traumatic stress disorder. Good for her. Maybe she too had come to the realization that nobody ever fully wins. What would George say if he was here now? I think all that weeping would probably start again. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Maxwell MacLeod.